Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Chase, Willie, and D. Mace rolling on this Monday as we break down a lot of Titans issues as they move forward in the preseason. One game left, and that is Saturday evening against the Cardinals. And then the final cuts and the countdown to the regular season. We're actually in a game week in college football. There's actually games coming up on Saturday. Gotta love that.
It's coming up already.
We're here. See, that's what the advantage of taking. See, I'm a big believer. You take the vacation later in the summer. So when you get to the other side, you're like, you're really gung ho because you're almost there. The dog days of summer are almost over.
Oh, man.
School's back in and all that stuff. This is fun. This is good stuff. So Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you today. A little piece of news that has come out. Mm-hmm. Some of you might have seen that low block that Kayvon Thibodeaux got of the Giants, first-round pick, really talented player. Fortunately, a sprained MCL and nothing more. The ACL is okay, but it's going to be a few weeks before he gets back in there. But that looked like it was could have been a lot worse there.
Why would you even do that? I mean,
that was like the worst technique I've ever seen. The Bengals guy. Who was that?
You got to protect, people on the field, whether they're on your team or not. Because the last thing you want to do is, take a cheap shot or, hit a guy and then you end his career. I mean, you can't do that. So hopefully, it's good that the kid will be okay and he'll be ready to go in a few weeks.
Let's get back to the discussion with the Titans because we're asking the question, if Ryan Tannehill were to go down, knock on wood, and this is, again, where he probably doesn't get enough credit because he did have a stage of his career earlier when he was with the Dolphins that he did get hurt from time to time, but he has been very durable so far. But in a scenario, let's go with this. A friend of mine has always subscribed to this adage, and I do think of this every time we talk about backup quarterbacks. If your starting quarterback goes out for the season, your season is screwed. That is the reality 9 times out of 10. Uh-huh. Unless you have a very special team or a very special backup. And in this day and age of the salary cap, it's hard to really have a great backup quarterback. We know the Titans are not in that spot. Mm-hmm. So let's go with the scenario of you've got to A, finish a game without Tannehill, and B, you've got one or two games where, okay, the backup has to get you by. What is the best option? A, Malik Willis, B, Logan Woodside, or C, somebody who is on the street or is going to be on the street in the next couple of weeks. Like that, they have to be kicking this around in John Robinson's office right now.
Well, your scenarios, I wouldn't want to have to deal with any of them. I would want
right, we hope it doesn't ever happen.
Exactly, it never comes.
But you have to be prepared.
It's, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, or prepare for the best, prepare for the worst, hope for the best, something like
right.
that. But it's always one of those deals where it's better to have and not need and need and not have. So in this situation, it's, okay, if Ryan goes down 2 or 3 games, let's go with the first option, Malik Willis.
Okay, yeah, so Malik Willis, you're game planning.
Yeah,
you know where he is. We've just broken down everything. So
exactly.
How would you game plan?
He's not ready. He's just not. If I am the offensive coordinator, I am doing a lot of two tights. I'm handing the ball off a lot. I am making everything easy reads for him to get the ball out of his hand very quickly. I'm not putting him in a situation where, he has to, survey the field for more than one or two receivers, And unfortunately with him, it has to be, a half the field read because he's just not ready. Not to say he won't be ready because I think he will. But a young quarterback like that getting thrust in that position, you got to condense the field for him. So people like Chig, Hooper, those guys come very – they become very important to him. Derrick Henry, Haskins, those guys become very important for him. Why? Because they're shorter throws. They're not throws all the way down the field. They're, okay, I know where you're going to be. I'm going to throw it. You're going to catch it. Kyle Phillips, same way. I got to trust in Kyle Phillips because they're shorter routes. I can't give him anything where he has to sort of read the defense and try to figure it out.
So could you condense the playbook, play to his strengths, maybe some runs?
It depends where in the season Ryan gets hurt and where are we at in regards to standings. Like if we got a three-game stretch and it's Indy and two other teams in the AFC, then we up the creek without a paddle, you know, because if we lose two or three of those games, that could potentially put us out of the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, now, but if we are in a position where, okay, we got a two-three game lead on say the Colts or anybody else, okay, now I can put him in a position and we can condense everything for him, you know?
This is a good thing you're asking too, because my question of, all right, you've got a backup for one game.
Uh-huh.
Malik Willis in week four may not be what Malik Willis will be in week 12 or 13 for one game. Maybe he can handle a lot more, and he's ready to get you by for a game at that stage of the season.
Yeah.
Fair to say?
Yeah.
Because right now I think we're all saying, hey, look, he's got a long way to go.
He does. And you just don't want to have to put that quarterback in that position where these are must wins. Listen, every game is a must win in the NFL. But
I mean, we gotta go into the assumption it's gonna be a dogfight with the Colts to win this division.
But if you have a 2-game lead on the Indianapolis Colts, then you got a little wiggle room for Ryan to come back. Say if he misses a game or two. You got a little wiggle room to play with. Okay?
Right. You're saying rather than play him at 50%
absolutely,
or something like that.
Absolutely. So I can deal with that. I can go with that. Woodside, on the other hand, I just don't think.
Okay, so now we go to scenario B. Woodside is your starting quarterback.
It's almost the same deal. You know, you don't want him to have to play no more than, you know, a game or two. You know, it's the same situation with Willis. Hopefully we're in a position where we have a lead on India or any other team, a 2-game lead on these teams, and we can afford to have him as our quarterback and condense everything down. Because even with Woodside, you don't want to open up the playbook. He can't manage a team. He just can't.
You're saying just physically?
Yeah, physically from a quarterback
position.
Let's
go under the assumption that he understands the offense. He should be able to know the progressions.
Uh-huh.
He knows the personnel. But you're saying physically,
I just don't
it
think
still
that.
Restricts what
he's,
you can do.
He still restricts what you can do as an offense.
Okay.
He just does. I mean, prime example. Just look at the preseason.
Okay, so what you're saying is, do you think that Woodside is that much of an upgrade? Let's just say, again, you got to get by for a game or two. Because really, that's all you could ever ask.
But a game or two can be the difference between
so who
a number one
chance?
Seed. And out of the playoffs.
So you've got the roster thing, too, because Willis is going to be on the roster. So you're keeping a third guy to keep Woodside in there. So is Woodside that much of an upgrade, at least in the first half of the season, to keep him around as the backup?
And here's why. I think Malik Willis gives you the ability to do other things in the game that Woodside can't.
Okay.
He can roll out and throw the ball rolling out. He can do the read options, and he can, if everything breaks down, he can get outside the pocket and make plays for you. So he gives you an added dimension that, you know, Logan is not going to give you. Logan Woodside, he almost gives you the same thing, similar to Ryan, that if everything breaks down in the pocket, Ryan is athletic enough, fast enough, physical enough to get outside the pocket and run. And make yardage that way, or get outside the pocket and throw the football down the field. I don't think Woodside could do any of those things. Malik Willis has shown, because he's gotten out of the pocket a lot in the preseason, he's shown he can get outside the pocket and throw the football. Shown he can run for first downs.
And so that has me asking, you know, how has Woodside made it this far? Because it's not like he's just trying out now. He's been here for a long time. There's got to be something they like about him. All right, so let's put that aside before this break, and I want to get you to ask – or get to answer door number three.
Okay.
Door number three is, okay, we got to go get another guy. I don't know who's going to be out there. Maybe Sam Darnold's out there right now. I mean, I don't know that you could go with the investment salary cap wise with a guy like Garoppolo, who right now the 49ers say they're keeping.
Mm-hmm.
But there always seem to be four or five guys out there where you say, guys at least played a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How hard would it – is that a better option, or would you rather just go – again, we're talking about one or two games.
Uh-huh.
We're not talking about the rest of the season kind of thing.
So
door number three, an option for you or no?
I don't think door number three can be an option if you're only thinking two or three games, because – if door number three is only an option if it's more than three games, if it's
right.
like six, seven games, eight games, like a half a season,
okay.
then door number three becomes a viable option for you. But door number three doesn't become an option if it's only two games. You figure, okay, I don't, you know, Malik Willis may not be ready to start, but I can do some things as the offensive coordinator to help him out. To limit, I can give him a limited package, you know. And guys, we got to understand, we got to help this guy out. We got to do everything. If you're supposed to be somewhere, be there. Catch the ball. Get the block. Do all those. We got to do extra because we got this rookie behind us for two games. We can manage that. But I don't think you then bring in a veteran guy for only two games because you got to cut one of those quarterbacks. You're not cutting Malik. You would have to cut Woodside.
See, that's the thing. Is door number three better than Woodside? That's what the question has to be for John
Robinson.
I think
the Titans are like, no, because, again, if it's not more than three games, we're not going to do it. If it's not more than two games,
but you have to make that decision at the end of
camp,
probably.
Yeah, unless you're in a situation that Indianapolis was in where they had to win the last two games of the season, three games of the season, and they still didn't do it. They didn't win the last game of the season, getting the playoffs against Jacksonville. If Ryan Tannehill goes down with those three games left, then you got to make a decision. Because if we got to win all three of these games, do you think we can win them with Malik Willis, or do we have to bring in someone else?
Interesting things that have to have the wheels turning as we watch each practice and get ready for the roster. The other thing that I don't know well enough is how they see the roster if they're keeping three mm-hmm. quarterbacks, or do they dare try to slide Logan Woodside through the waivers? In other words, cut him, have everybody have a chance to pick him up. Nobody picks him up. You put him on the practice squad and elevate him from there if you need him.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you that extra roster spot for somebody. Remember, you have more room on that practice squad than you used to back in the day. So there's a little more roster flexibility than you had pre-COVID. All right, when we come back, I want to get to the punter question because that's another thing that mm-hmm. a lot of people are wondering about. And can Brett Kern hold on to the job for, what is it, a 14th year? I mean, he's been an incredible
I'm pulling
punter.
For him. I'm pulling
incredible
for him.
Punter. All right, stay tuned. We're coming back with more. We'll also have some Titans training camp trivia this hour. So make sure you stay tuned for that. This is Chase Willie and D-Mace on 102.5 The Game. Call or text us on our text line or our phone line, WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Chase Willie and D-Mace. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. 615-737-1025. John texts us and says, Titans are looking to Mason Rudolph, Josh Dobbs, whoever doesn't get the job as the second quarterback backup quarterback, I guess, to Mitchell Trubisky in Pittsburgh. Or Sam Darnold. Now, let's hit the Darnold thing because we looked into it a bit during the break. And you made an interesting point, Derek, that I hadn't thought of. I'm going by the baseball thing. If you've got a big tag, like Darnold's a first-round pick, so he makes a sizable salary. He's on the fifth year of his rookie contract, mm-hmm. which isn't what it used to be for rookie quarterbacks, but it's still a pretty decent chunk
of
change.
It's a big chunk.
But I thought that when you release the guy like that, he's on the street, you pick him up for whatever you sign him for, the league minimum, mm-hmm. if you want. But that's not the case. He's got a cap number that is set because of the league rules at $18.8 million as a fully guaranteed base salary. So Carolina, they rolled the dice and traded uh-huh. for him last year, and they are
it
getting burned here. They're moving on to Baker Mayfield, as they said. But it's not as simple as, hey, just wait till they cut him, pick him up off the street for nothing. You'd still have to pay. You'd have to make a trade, right?
You would have to essentially do what Cleveland did. Listen, everybody and their mother knew that eventually Cleveland was going to have to part ways with Baker Mayfield. It was, okay, if indeed they do, how much money are they willing to pay of Baker Mayfield's salary? Well, Cleveland had to take a chunk of that and you know, have to pay it in order to ship him off to Carolina. Well, Carolina's in the same boat now, because if they want to ship off Sam Darnold, they're going to have to pay a portion of that salary. If they indeed, because no GM or owner, unless you're Cleveland, maybe, is going to pay, you know, somebody that y'all got to release anyway. At least pay him the full amount, and he's guaranteed, what, $18
million? Yep,
$18.8. As a GM, I'm like, no, I'm not paying all that.
No way.
You know, you take half of it, and I pay the other half, because he's not your starter, and you don't want to pay him $18 million to hold a clipboard, you know? So all
this to say, if you were thinking about Darnold, you might want to think again.
I don't
because
think the Titans are
he's
willing
too
to do
expensive,
that.
Yeah. And he's not that good to where he would be taking up that much. I mean, because even if you did some salary cap magic and you traded and you knocked that number down, it's still going to be a lot higher. Remember, the best thing that Logan Woodside is, he is cheap. He is very, very cheap. So I'm rethinking. The Darnold thought that I had earlier today, that's not in there.
So maybe
what about,
one of these
what about
other
the
guys,
other guy from
Rudolph
or,
yeah,
or Dobbs?
Dobbs played really well the other night. You don't know where that quarterback situation stands in Pittsburgh, but one of those guys are going to be gone. Maybe they try to trade one of them before having to cut the person, or maybe they just cut him. But if they do, then I think if you're the Tennessee Titans and you're not truly sold on, you know, on Logan Woodside, or you don't believe, hey, Malik's just not ready right now, if indeed we had to put him in a game, then
right,
you may take a flyer and get one of these guys. But again, now that I'm thinking about it, I just don't think they can do that, because I don't think they want to. One, I think they trust that from Ryan's past history with the Titans, he's going to be there for the full 17 games. They believe that. But they don't want to bring in another quarterback to then push Malik Willis back even further, you know? I think if they believe he's their backup, I think they're going to keep him as the backup. And they're hoping and praying that they don't need him for more than a game or two.
Well, that's what you always have to hope.
So they don't want to bring in – I don't think they want to bring in another quarterback.
Okay, so now we got people on our text line that are becoming GMs, throwing some different things in there. Yeah. We love that. So we have Dobbs in Cleveland. I forgot that he is now in Cleveland too. So he may be the backup to Brissett. Thank you, David.
Yeah.
For pointing that out on our text line. But I'm just wondering who could be out there. So all of that to say, I think it looks more and more like they're going to stick with what they've got for the time being. Unless you want to do the real daring move of send Woodside through the waiver process and stick him on the practice squad, because we called it door number three earlier this hour. Uh-huh. Finding somebody off the street, it's complicated. Also, you don't have a ton of money on the salary cap, and that brings us to what we wanted to discuss too, and that's the punter situation that a lot of people are buzzing about. So let's take the salaries aside, number one. In a vacuum, would you still prefer Brett Kern to this rookie, Ryan Stonehouse?
I just trust Kern. I trust him. And obviously, you know, there was a period where, you know, he didn't punt as well. But, you know, Kern has proven in his 14 going on 15 years of being in the NFL that he's one of the best punters. You know, at one point, we figured he was the best player on the team. You know, at one point, that's how bad the Titans were. But I think he's a valuable asset to your team. You and I talked about this off the air. Okay, if it's you backed up at your own 1 yard line and you need a big punt.
And you're on the road.
And you're on the road.
Weather's a little iffy.
Yeah, critical time. Who do you trust? I would rather have Kern out there. And I think every other guy would feel that much. Not to say they, you know, if the young guy's out there, he's out there. But I think if you asked each one of them, they would probably say, hey, I would rather have Kern out there than anything.
So here is the next question, because I agree with you. All things considered, I heard Mike Vrabel say something interesting after the game. He said, I think that Brett Kern is punting better than he did last year, which lets you know that last year was not a great year for Brett because he got hurt. I think he was playing hurt some. He actually missed some games. Mm-hmm. But he has at least, that tells me he's shown some better signs of looking like himself out there. But he's not getting any younger. But here's the other thing. Number one, I think we all now believe that Stonehouse has been showing enough to where he's got some tools, right? We know about the leg, but we also know that as a punter, the big leg is only one aspect of it, right? Yes. There's really everything else. It's how do you do under the pressure of the big moment?
It's like a golfer.
And also, can you put the ball in the right spot? Can you get it inside the 10 mm-hmm. when you've got to get it in there? And that's still the big question with him. He was kind of hit or miss. He did show you the one booming punt. I mean, that means something when when you're backed up at your own 20 and he can bang it all the way down there. He's got a legit leg. But here is the thing to me. Is he close enough to where you consider he's going to make the league minimum and Brett Kern's salary, even though he reworked his contract, is still in the neighborhood of $2.7 million? Is it that, you know, if it's close and you can save $2 million, that's worth considering.
Yeah, but everything can't be about money. It has to be about a feel. It has to be about who do I trust, regardless if I'm paying you league minimum or I'm paying you, you know, $4 or $5 million. Who do I trust more?
It's like Eddie Harris and Rick Vaughn,
yeah,
right, from Major League.
Uh-huh.
Do you want the rookie that's got the flaming heater, or do you want Eddie Harris who's got the craftiness?
Exactly.
You know,
so you pick. It's like, which one do you want?
But remember that Rick Vaughn for the long haul is $700,000, and Eddie Harris is $2.7 million.
He's a big money guy.
Yeah.
So, but again, it's sometimes I think you can't make a decision based on who makes the most or who makes the least.
Not solely, but it's got to come in there.
It come in. It's like
with all of your other. For example, if you want
like
to put a little more money in the quarterback, or if you like a defensive back, or as we said before, an offensive lineman, which they desperately, if nothing else, they need depth there. So you got to be looking around. So where can I get a little extra change to throw at this budget? That's one that you have to look at.
But you're absolutely right. But I equate it to something simple. It's like, are you gonna? Yeah, you can buy those cheap shoes, and they tear your feet up, or you can buy a little bit more expensive shoes, and they feel good on your feet. You trust them, you know. They look good. They're performing well. And, you know, those running shoes are performing well. Not only can you run in them, but you can wear them to work. You can wear them out. You can do it. Well, these cheap shoes, you ain't doing no running in them.
No, but but Stonehouse, though, you think most people think he is an NFL punter. Like, he's got talent.
Listen, I'm not saying that
he's
not
cheap
in NFL
shoes, but there's something there.
He has that one thing he can do right now. And that's punt the ball through the roof. And those cheap shoes got one thing they can do right now, and that's just walk. So you can't run.
We don't know if he can run.
Exactly.
Well, actually did run. He dropped the ball and he ran for the first time. Yeah.
You got a point there, Willie.
He did do that. All right, we're going to come back to this. All right, we got a little trivia coming up, and that's coming up at 12:45. So we're going to have a chance for you to win Jack Johnson tickets, which is coming up at Ascend Amphitheater. That's coming your way, Titans training camp trivia. We're going to read some of your texts coming back. 737-1025, some questions for D. Mace on this whole puzzle of the Titans situation. 615-737-1025. We'll take some more of your text, your calls when we come back here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025 The Game. Back here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025 The Game, and we're bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. We'll be back out at Titans camp later this week. Chase McCabe. You notice Chase conveniently waits to come back until we're out at Titans training camp. Wednesday, Thursday, that will be the return of the suit.
Of the suit.
So we'll be at full strength, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Over in Williamsport, the rain has gone away. They're back playing New York and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania leading 7-1 elimination game. So this is a loser's bracket game. I hate to use the term losers. None of these kids are losers. They're doing a great job. It's been a great atmosphere, as always, in Williamsport. But the Nolensville boys are playing at 2 o'clock in the winner's bracket. And so it looks like they should be able to get that game in reasonably on time. So keep an eye on that. If you got some time this afternoon, you get a chance to check them out. Really good bunch of guys, for sure. Had a great talk with Engel Martin last week, the head coach of CPA, who missed the CPA opener to be there to watch his son Wright play in Williamsport. He talked about it was a tough decision, but he said some things are more important than football. And CPA, he turned the reins over to his assistant. CPA won their first game against Independence. So everything worked out. Nolensville won and CPA won.
Yeah. Some things are more important than football. Baseball.
Yeah, at least Williamsport baseball.
Especially when your kids are playing.
Yeah, Little League World Series. You don't get that chance every year. So we got a lot of texts on the line here. We're talking about the puzzle that John Robinson is in. You know, salary cap, we know they don't have a lot of extra money. We've identified offensive line as an area where, if nothing else, they're going to need some depth. So they've got to be on the lookout there. You're always looking for somebody here or there that could help you. Backup quarterback is another issue. A lot of people are weighing in on that. If you've got something, go ahead and text it to D-Mace. We'll get him to answer it, 615-737-1025. You can call in as well. But we're asking the question, and we'd love to hear your response on this. Is it close enough in the punting situation where the rookie – who, as Derek says, you know, cheap shoes, they're not broken in. You don't know exactly how they're going to look when they're all broken in. Do they start falling apart, or do they stick together? And it's a good buy. Or the nice, experienced, worn shoes of Brett Kern, a little more expensive, but they've been around the block, and they've been reliable for you.
You know what to expect.
$2.7 million versus $700,000 is the decision. Is the race close enough to where you would gamble – go with the rookie, save the extra money to address the roster somewhere else? That is the question. So we'd love to hear what some people have to say in your opinion on this, because that's where it's going. And Ron text lines says, not all the time do you get what you pay for.
Yeah, you got a point.
But that is the old adage, right? You get what you pay for. And a veteran punter costs more.
Yeah.
But you also know that when the game's on the line and you're backed up, you've got a guy that's been there a million times before and has done the job for you.
Well, if you do go with the rookie punter, and, you know, because say if everything was even, and you say, well, I'm going with the rookie punter because he's cheaper. All right, cool. So that's the second move you've made to save money. And you're hoping and praying that it works out. First move was trading A.J. Brown away and hoping that you can – that Treylon Burks can come in here for cheaper, but still get the same, almost the same production, if not the same production. So you're still hoping and wishing with that one. And now you're asking your rookie punter, not to say he can't do it, but you're asking your rookie punter, you know, hey, listen, you're the guy now. You know, we're keeping you. One, because, you know, both of you guys were on the same plane, really. But you're making a little bit less. So we're going to go with you. So now you've made two moves based on finances.
But the fact is, everybody's going to have to make decisions like that eventually with the salary cap.
Of course. But again, if it's not broken, why are we trying to fix it?
Okay. Let's get to David in Arkansas, who has a good text here, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He says, I'm on the fence. I love Kern. But do we want to be in a punter carousel in a year or two when Kern loses his stuff, when we have a guy right here in camp that presumably would be picked up by another team? Now, that's an assumption people are making. I don't know that that's 100% going to happen. But he does ask a question. At some point, Brett Kern is going to retire.
Yeah.
He clearly wants to punt for another year, but you know, are you looking at a punter that could be your punter for the next several years in Stonehouse? That's a question that I think is a legit question beyond the salary cap.
No, it is. It's, you know, we know we got Kern for another year at least. Now, you know, he may punt for another 3 years. Who's to say? But we got this young guy. And, you know, this young guy looks good. So can we as an organization sort of weather the storm, whatever that storm is? It may not be a storm at all, or it may be a small one. Can we weather the storm of the young kicker kind of going through the NFL ups and downs, taking his lumps? Can we weather that? Or can we deal with that as a team and move past it? And, you know, eventually this young kid is going to be the punter we thought he was. Are we in a position to do that as a team? I think that has to be the question the Titans are asking themselves.
All right. As along the lines of you get what you pay for, Wes in Clarksville has this text, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I know the Titans are trying to buy a new stadium, but dang, $9.50 for a souvenir cup of soda is crazy. That's what it is now at the Titan Stadium, Nissan Stadium. Is that getting what you're paying for? $9.50 for the souvenir cup? Is that?
I don't know. I guess if you want to buy that cup, then that's up to you.
I do like having the cup. I've got a lot of Titans cups, and but at the various stadiums
when
I go to,
when is too many? Too many.
I got to tell you, the $9.50 is a little high. Here's my question: Do you get the free refills for
every
the $9.50?
You take the cup?
Like if you want to just guzzle Diet Coke or Mountain Dew, whatever it is your drink of choice.
I need it. Check you for, you know, diabetes or something if you're doing that.
It could get dangerous.
Exactly.
Because you're also thinking, hey, I paid $9.50. I got to have like three of these to make it worthwhile.
I wouldn't suggest that.
Okay, that's probably not a
good
idea.
But do you get refills with that $9.50?
That is a legit question. Yeah. I have partaken in some refills. I've justified the big cost, saying, okay, I'm going to take the cup back from Fenway Park or, you know, Camden Yards or whatever. I still got a bunch of them in my house. Just to remember we went to that stadium. You know, I've got that.
So you're a hoarder.
It's a cheap cup.
You just hoard.
I mean,
cups,
the cup's not worth 30 cents, right? But it's a memento.
Exactly. So so our texter is right. I'm not paying $9 for a cup.
Okay. So look, this comes back to the same thing. If you're going to a game expecting to get cheap concessions, it's just not going to happen.
But I mean, okay. Kern and
if we let the rookie go, he's going to get picked up quickly.
Of course, but you can't make your decisions based on, oh, somebody might pick him up. You can't. I don't know not many GMs make decisions based on just that. Like, oh, we can't let him go because someone may pick him up. That's a part of it, but it can't be like the end all be all. Like, you could let a lot of guys go, and teams are going to pick them up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it goes back.
Well, what about the flip side? Would somebody automatically pick up Kern?
I think Kern would get a job.
You think somebody would pick
Kern
him up?
I think Kern is still a good enough kicker. He will get a job.
Okay. Mark in Paris texts in, we have a young team with some veterans. We're building a team with young players, so I'm going with Stonehouse. He's thinking sort of long term with this.
And listen, I'm not – when you read these texts, on our text line, I'm not saying that they're wrong. You know, it's just what are the Titans thinking moving forward in regards to their kicking situation, their punter situation? Do they want to go another year or two with Kern, or are they saying, okay, we can go with the young guy and, you know, possibly save some money and he end up being a kicker for us for the next 15 years, you know? So I'm not saying that, no, you can't do away with Kern. I mean, you know, but to me, you know, if Kern is showing that he still has his stuff, then let's go.
Okay. So you say that's an interesting way to put it. If you you feel like Kern is what he has been, then he's worth every penny of that 2.7, and you go with him. If there's regression, then maybe you reconsider.
Yeah, you reconsider.
Okay. Final text, unnamed texter says, how many roster spots do we continue to eat up based on, quote, what if? Okay. So it's, so in other words,
yeah,
the unknown.
That's why that's why I said you need to cut ratings.
So sometimes you – okay.
That's why I said you need to cut ratings.
We're going to rotate back to some Titan stuff in the 1 o'clock hour. We are going to have some trivia. So if you want to jump in now, Titans training camp trivia is coming up. We've got Jack Johnson tickets for you, and that's coming up at Ascend Amphitheater. So a little throwback, Jack Johnson. If you like his style, he's got a lot of good songs. So that might be of interest to you. I'll throw the question out in just a moment, so stay tuned. And then we'll have our fantasy questions of the day at 1 o'clock as well. So we'll kick those around to D-Mace. We'll get his thoughts. We'll throw Nick in there as well and get his take as we get you ready for your fantasy drafts coming up. Stay tuned. This is Chase, Willie, and D-Mace on 102.5 The Game. Back here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. It's time for Titans training camp trivia. So line up on the phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, and see if you can answer today's question coming up. Hey, also, Silly Underdog Picks is coming back, and it's presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We'll have another great season for you. It's your favorite game. You can sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. So make sure you do that. Look into that and get ready to play. College football is coming at you this week. So we've got some games coming up. So, yes, it's that time of year again. Silly Underdog Picks are back. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here for you. And here is today's question. Now, D-Mace, you remember this well.
Mm-hmm.
You know the answer, but you cannot win this prize.
Dang it.
You are not eligible.
Man.
The answer is not Dennis Rodman either. That's another thing. But here we go. We're talking punters today. Pretty good punter battle going there. And I think the more you hear Mike Vrabel talk about it, I think you definitely have to acknowledge, if you're Brett Kern, that this is a legit race, especially when you factor in the money involved. And Brett Kern is punting very well. I thought he had a good game on Saturday. That's all you can do at the end of the day, if you're him, is do your job. Brett Kern has been the punter for a long time. And, of course, before him, you had Craig Hendrick for a long time. But today's question is, who was the punter before Craig Hendrick? In fact, we would label him the original punter of the Tennessee Oilers. It goes back pre-Titans. So in the history of the Titans, and we're, except for injuries here and there, which did happen, you know, we're talking about 20-some-odd years of Kern and Hendrick. There were other punters that punted. But prior to them, the regular punter, who was the regular starting punter before Craig Hendrick? 615-737-1025. If you get this answer correct, you will win tickets to see Jack Johnson at Ascend Amphitheater coming up. Beautiful nights, downtown Nashville. It's going to be a good scene. What do you got here, Nick?
I was going to say that this event is on Thursday night.
Oh, it's coming up Thursday night.
At Ascend, yes.
Okay, so it's right around the corner.
Yeah. Boom,
you got plans Thursday night if you can get this right.
There you go.
But do you know the punter who was teammates with Derek Mason on the original Tennessee Oilers? And this is going back to the Memphis time, right?
He was the good old days.
Yeah, this is the Memphis
struggle.
Tennessee Oilers, right? Because Craig Hendrick came in. He was on the Tennessee Oilers at Vanderbilt. That was his first year, 1998, I believe. Floyd Reese signed him. So it was before that. Who was the punter? 737-1025. And I will say this. This was not a no-name punter. This was a guy that did a lot in the league.
Yeah.
Like when you were growing up,
when I was growing up, you were watching this guy punt. When I was growing up, he made punting a thing to watch because of some of the things he did. Like you never
talk about a strong leg,
strong leg. But But he was a guy that – he was the first guy I saw that timed his hang time.
Okay.
With his watch. Like, he would kick, time it, and see how long it stayed in the air. That was the only guy that I ever seen do that. And since then, that's the only guy I've ever seen do that. In the game. I'm talking about in the game, too. He would do it.
I thought – You know, Ray Guy is always a guy that's considered a game changer, and that was a little bit earlier before this guy came in. But I thought this guy too was one of those.
He was one of those game changers too.
Took it to another level.
Absolutely,
when he got in there. And no, you cannot text the answer in to our text line. A lot of people are texting the answer. No, that doesn't work. You've got to call in 615-737-1025. Do it, Nick. Give me the thumbs up. Do we have the answer? Okay.
Okay.
We've got the answer, and it is
Reggie. The late Reggie Roby.
Reggie Roby.
Yes.
Who came in, and I remember I moved to Florida in 1983, and I think that's right around the time he came into the league with Don Shula's Dolphins.
Yeah.
Who back down there in Orlando,
he was a
Florida.
Kicker for a long
you got
time.
The Dolphins game every Sunday.
Yeah.
And that was Dan Marino. That was Don Shula. And Reggie Roby, he was a staple of those teams. He kicked for the Dolphins for a long, long time. He was at the end of his career, and the Oilers picked him up.
He came here, son. I think he ended up finishing, if I'm not mistaken, in Oakland. I think he might have finished.
Oh, so he kicked after, after Craig Hetrick came in.
I think he might have finished his career in Oakland, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know how long he spent in Oakland, but I think that's where he ended his career.
Okay, we'll have to look that up. But congratulations. We'll get the name from Nick here in a second. On our winner for Titans Training Camp Trivia. We'll have more of that later this week. Speaking of that, if you are a trivia buff, Wednesday night is the night. You've heard the promotion. You've talked about this a lot. We've got over 20 teams now for trivia night to benefit Stars, which Derek is a big part of. My wife, Erin, works for Stars. We're going to have a blast at Boom Boz East on the east side on Wednesday night. You get a team of four. It's $100, $2 beers, a free appetizer just for your donation. And we've got big prizes. We've got a big night in the suite for a Predators game. We've got a bunch of concerts you could pick from if your team wins. There's going to be prizes for the top three teams. There's going to be a night at the Opryland Hotel. So we've got a lot of prize packages. And so there'll be some really good things you can win. Plus, you'll be donating to a great cause. You can go to starsnashville.org to sign up for the event. And so it's going to be awesome. So I hope a lot of people come by. If you've enjoyed these trivia questions, get a squad together.
Yeah, because you can answer one of those questions like we just
you never you never know.
Reggie Roby.
It's going to be mostly sports. It's going to be mostly sports. There are going to be some movie, pop culture questions thrown in there too.
Y'all better know y'all baseball. I tell you that right now.
I am scouting the questions right now. We're working on the questions right now, and I will tell you there might be one or two baseball, but there will definitely be some local sports
ties.
Questions in there. Yeah,
he finished his career in San Fran.
He
so
did.
It was
okay,
out west. Yeah,
Reggie
finished
Roby.
His career in San Fran. He had a stint in Washington a year, I believe, in Washington.
How many years did he kick? What was his first year in the league?
First year in the league was 83.
83.
He retired in 98 after the 98. His last season was 98.
That's good stuff. Reggie Roby.
15 seasons? Yeah. Punted a long time. Two-time All-Pro. First team. All-Pro second team. Three-time Pro Bowler. He made the All-Decade team. I don't understand why this guy's not on Hall of Fame.
It's an interesting question. Now, think about this. 1998, Craig Hetrick comes in. From 1998 until current day, that's how many years? That is two punters.
Yeah.
Craig Hetrick and Brett Kern.
Yes.
That's a lot of years and only two punters.
Well, that's a good thing for an organization.
That is a good thing. Yeah. They've done well in that area.
Exactly.
All right, when we come back, we'll have our fantasy questions of the day. And we'll get you ready for your fantasy draft. We'll also, in the 1 o'clock hour, hit some other things about the Titans that we have not touched on yet. We have broken down a lot of things today. It's going to be an interesting week as they've got that final preseason game coming up on Saturday against Arizona. By the way, Arizona reported today that J.J. Watt, who got injured last year, he will not play. He has a positive test. I think it's a, I assume it's COVID, something like that. He's going to have to sit out this last game, but you know, it's always interesting when you watch a great player like that. If you're going to the game on Saturday, you say, I saw so-and-so play, but you will not see J.J. Watt on Saturday.
I don't think he was going to play anyway.
He may not have played anyway. That is the thing. Like, Tom Brady, he wasn't even there, yeah. Right? You didn't have a chance to even see him walking the sidelines with the clipboard or anything on Saturday.
I know Jared was just, like, heartbroken.
You know Jared was looking for some way exactly. To ask him a question. All right, final hour of the show coming up next on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.